This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon to you, my buddy. We got to get serious now.
Oh, we do? We can't tell jokes while we're not on the air.
Well, probably not the ones we were sharing.
Well, you were sharing. I wasn't. I was blocking my ears. I couldn't stand it.
Oh, yeah. You were all ears.
I had the headphones on, thankfully. Well, good afternoon, y'all. I hope you're listening, and thank you for listening. And if you have any questions about your lawns or gardens or trees or shrubs or bark mulch or whatever, you can call 673-4464, ask your question. We can have a discussion, and I can help you. And if don't be bashful. It's okay. It's free. I won't charge you anything. And another quick announcement is, and I'll say it again at the end of this show, next week will be my last live show. I'm quitting. I'm quitting after 20 years, I think it is.
And well, I hate to see you go, but I know you got to do it, what you got to do.
Yeah, well, after a while, you know, you go, gee whiz, I'm retired, supposedly, and maybe I could go somewhere and just and spend some time at the beach or something.
Who knows? To Texas, see your daughter.
That's
whatever.
Right. Well, I could do that, But anyway, welcome. And
hey, I like your John Lennon glasses.
You like my John Lennon glasses? I've had these for 100 years, and I couldn't find my big bulky ones, so these were right there, so I put them on.
They look pretty good on you.
I know, I look like John Lennon, the Beatle man.
Yeah, you do.
I'm a bark beetle. Anyway, on with the show. Christmas tree season is here, and I haven't seen many trees around, for crying out loud. You know, there used to be a Christmas tree lot on every street corner here in Douglas County and Winston and Sutherland. And the only thing I can think of is maybe the artificial tree industry has taken over the market. And, you know, you just...
China.
Yeah, well, whoever makes them. But I've seen very high prices on the fresh-cut trees that are in certain locations. And there aren't many of those to choose from. And I think our society is losing traditions rapidly. And... But supposedly that's progress, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. And the Christmas trees growers here in Oregon have thousands, literally hundreds of thousands of Christmas trees growing. And their market, thankfully, is not local. But, I mean, they have some local, but the national market for Oregon Christmas trees is tremendous. And I think I did a show here a month or so ago. I think they sold 5.8 million trees across the nation every year.
A lot
just,
of in
just
California.
From Oregon. Yeah, just from Oregon.
Right. Yeah.
So Oregon still grows more Christmas trees than any other state, which is good.
Yay.
And actually, there is a worldwide market for Oregon grown trees. And I'll tell you a little story about that.
Okay.
One year, we went to Cabo San Lucas for a vacation, and it was like the 1st of December or so, somewhere in there. And, you know, nice place. I love it. I've been there lots of times. And we're walking downtown, and I see in the distance in front of a little store, there's this crooked-looking Douglas fir on a wooden stand, just kind of leaning, and it's kind of sparse. And I thought, gee whiz, where'd they get that thing?
Yeah.
And I walked up to it, and there was a tag on it, and I read the tag. Grown in Oregon. So, Oregon tree and Christmas tree in Cabo San Lucas.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, there weren't very many of them. That was just the only, in fact, that was the only one I saw walking around that day. There might have been others. But
was it alive or on the way out?
You know, no, it was nailed to a wooden stand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they somehow, I don't know where they bought it, because there's no Christmas tree lots in Cabo that I saw. There might have been hidden somewhere, but I never saw them. They weren't by the hotels, or at least, or the beach.
Whatever you call it.
So
them
our
spots.
Oregon trees get around a lot. And if they're, you know, clear down in Cabo San Lucas, okay, baby, you're good. So I guess times are changing.
Yeah, well, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, the times they are changing like a Rolling Stone. So that dates me, doesn't it? So I'm going to talk about a little bit about houseplants today. So, you know, it's supposedly winter. I think it's, what, 60 degrees out there right now.
Close, yeah. 56.
Sure. Yeah, 56, yeah. I think yesterday was 61 at one time.
Yeah, I believe that's what it
said. Holy mackerel. Jeez Louise. December what?
Right.
Yeah, but houseplants, usually that's what I pay attention to in the fall, winter, and early spring when it's cold and rainy and foggy. And you still need some plants, so we buy house plants, you know? All of us buy them. And there are hundreds and hundreds to choose from, but we need some basic knowledge on how to care for them. And house plants are healthy for us humans, not just for their beauty, but they're healthy for us. How? Well, they inhale carbon dioxide and exhale oxygen in the house. So
Nice. They're
taking the poisonous gases out of the air and giving us good stuff to breathe. So that's a good thing.
There's a joke there, but I got to leave it.
No, there isn't a good. There is no joke there. This is serious stuff. Stop it. But they come in all sizes and shapes, and you can buy a climbing vine type or something very small, or one that blooms, and they're fast. There are fast growers or slow growers. For instance, there's one called the String of Pearls. It's very, very unique.
Hmm.
The leaves are not like leaves that you and I know. They're like small, round balls. They look like green peas. And those are the leaves of this particular plant.
Strange.
Yeah. And they hang on, you know, they kind of droop up over the pot. It has very low water requirements because these pearls that are hanging from the little shrub or tree or whatever the heck it was, they store water, and it doesn't, it doesn't take, for bright, strong sunshine very well, but a nice east window will do for that particular plant. But it doesn't care. There's another one, the inch plant, I-N-C-H. Or it's also called spiderwort. And it hangs over the pot like a hanging basket. And it has dark magenta foliage with gray-green striped leaves. Kind of wild in Central America and grows very, very fast. And if planted outdoors, it is considered an invasive plant in warm climates. So if you're in Florida, you put one out in your yard, it's going to take over your yard.
Mm.
Eat your dog. Eat your cat and all that kind of stuff. But then there's something larger you could try. It's called the Swiss cheese plant.
Interesting.
They got some really weird names on these things, common names. The Latin names are all the same, but the common names are a kick. Well, this one has large green leaves, and, they're 4 or 5 inches long. But they have gigantic holes in the center part of the leaf. It's like
big holes.
Yeah, holes. In other words, it's a leaf with a big hole in the middle,
like a donut.
I'd call it the donut plant. Yes.
Yeah.
But the Swiss cheese plant, I guess they call that's the common name. I didn't put the scientific name down. Nobody would understand it anyway.
Nobody asked you.
Yeah, and it's a very, very fast grower, and it needs a large pot, and likes bright filtered light, so you kind of put it by a window with some maybe some Venetian blinds or something to regulate the light. Anyway, it grows in Central and South America wild. You know, it's wild down there. It's like a juniper up here. You know, but you want to give it space. And then there's a plant called the ponytail palm, but it's not really a palm. But they call it the ponytail palm. The trunk has a swollen base, and it gives it a very aged look. It would probably be a good bonsai. But the leaves are thin, grass-like, long, maybe 5-6 inches long, and they weep down like an umbrella. It has a very exotic look, and it likes sandy soil and bright sunlight and a slow-release fertilizer in early spring. And I have this one colorful book on houseplants.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and I mean the photos in here are just absolutely amazing. I was going to show my partner here. What the heck is that? Oh, here's that palm tree I just talked about.
Yeah.
Too bad we can't show this on the radio.
Looks like,
you know,
a bad haircut.
Yeah, it's a bad haircut plant. That's the other name for it. But the one with the holes in the middle of it, oh, gosh. It's something.
Oh, the old donut one.
Yeah, yeah, the donut plant, for goodness sakes. And you think, how did these plants get this way? You know, what's wrong with them? Anyway, I can't find that other one. But it's really interesting because here you are, well, not today, for instance, but usually it's raining, it's cold, it's foggy. It's, you know, you don't want to be out in the yard, but you know, you like plants. So, hey, put some in your house. Put them on the windowsills. Put them on the coffee tables. Put them somewhere because they give you oxygen, fresh, pure oxygen, and that's what they breathe out. And the last, not in the last, but then there's the ever-popular poinsettia.
Oh, yeah.
Where you see them, the one that's on every store counter in Oregon, for crying out loud.
And beyond.
And beyond, I'm sure, but I haven't been beyond in a long time. But they're sold, like I say, in every store. You can go into a little tiny, you know, mom and pop grocery. They got poinsettias in there for sale.
Yeah.
You go into Freddy's and they got 10,000 of them in there for sale, you know.
Buy one, get one free.
Yeah, sure. That would be good. Even there's one, I was out in Camas Valley here not too long ago. They even having them in a little store in Camas Valley, way out there in the boondocks where the loggers and all live. So yeah,
that's what they need.
Yeah. So the question is, how do you keep them alive for a while? Because it seems like people sometimes have a hard time keeping a poinsettia alive when they're not that hard. You know, the first rule, of course, guess what? Not overwater them. I'm sure everybody has that by now. And they are usually wrapped in red foil for color, so that inhibits the drainage right away. You know, you got holes in the bottom of the pot, and then they wrap it in this red foil, but the red foil doesn't have any holes.
No.
So some poor person saying, oh, I'm going to water my poinsettia. Well, it goes down into the plant, but
and
it can't
sits
drain.
There. Yeah.
And sits there. And then you go, why are those leaves curling? Why are the red leaves falling off so quickly? You know? Well, it's because you're watering it. You know,
yeah, I know.
Too much, and it's not really your fault, because if it didn't have the red foil, the drainage would be fine, and it would go through, keep the soil
damp. Keep it rolling.
And keep it rolling, yeah, right. So, but poinsettias, yeah, that's how some people pronounce it.
they
like a lighted location, and they're really hard to kill unless you overwater them. And if you want to keep it for an indoor plant all year, repot it in a larger pot with good drainage, and you can put it on your porch, you can put it in your living room table, whatever. And in the spring, I always put them outside, but not in full hot all-day sun. You know, some morning sun, afternoon shade would be a perfect location for them.
They can get pretty large.
Oh, they can. They can. Yeah. And it'll grow well, and when October, you know, comes around, put it in a dark spot until the leaves begin to turn red again.
Oh, okay.
The absence of light causes the leaves to turn red. So here's a little story about that.
Can we do that after the break?
Yeah, okay, you guys don't forget what I just said.
Poinsettia story. Yes.
Poinsettia story coming up hot off the press.
What's our number, Mike?
673-4464. Call and ask your question if you have one.
Do it soon. He's not going to be around much longer.
That's right.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And welcome back. We have a phone call right off the bat here. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon. I do have a question, but Mike, I just want to say I'm going to miss listening to you. You've helped me out so many times in the past. And I hope you enjoy your retirement, though. You deserve it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I really do.
And I hope the station has someone that can step in, because we really do need a garden advice program. My question is about Christmas cactus. I got one here that's probably 15 or more years old. Wow. And it's starting to die back now. These stems that come up out of the trunk of the plant start to turn brown at the base, and then they get kind of dry, and then they just the whole stem falls off.
So how big of a pot is it in?
Well, it's about a 5 or 6 inch pot.
And it's been in there 15 years, did you say?
Yeah, probably.
Wow. I think it needs to be repotted because the root systems have no place to grow, and they probably used all the available space and soil that's in that small pot. And
I see.
I would definitely get a nice size, a larger pot. They're a tough plant. And, very gently take it out of one and have the other one ready to go and repot it and give it some vitamin B1 and say maybe 2 or 3 doses of that over a month or so, or maybe 2 month time, and in place of watering. And because you just mix it with water, the B1, and you just mix it with water and pour it in. And it's a vitamin. It's a root enhancer. It makes roots grow. So you can try that. But don't give it any fertilizer or anything strong until it recovers. Make sure if you've had it 15 years, you probably haven't overwatered it in that time because it would have died long ago. But
I'm pretty careful about that.
Good. And when you do the B1, just keep your eye on it and put it on a windowsill or somewhere where we can get some sunlight. Okay.
Okay, sounds like good advice.
Okay, sir. Thank you for the call and the compliment.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Poinsettia story. What you got?
Oh, yeah. My poinsettia story. You know, the leaves turn red, and then they fade, and then there's and new growth is green, and how do you make them red again? Well, this was a long, long time ago when I was first in the nursery business.
When you were, when young stud.
I was a rookie. And I thought, I took a poinsettia home for my wife for Christmas, and, she enjoyed it. It was in the kitchen table and blah, blah, blah. And then, after Christmas, I thought, I want more red leaves on it. So I went ahead and put it in my my girl's closet because it was dark. Right?
Yeah.
And I thought, that ought to change those.
That
leaves.
Ought to do her.
Yeah, but the problem I had, though, is I forgot about it.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And when about 3 months went by. About 3 months, and I never thought of it. And I opened the closet looking for something else, and it was like March or something. And there was the poinsettias, and the leaves were not red.
Oh.
They were brown and crispy and dry.
Dead.
Because I had forgotten all about it in life's activities. So it had no water, no light, no food. You can't do that. You do not want to follow my example and put it in a closet and forget
about it. I thought
you were
going to tell me there was 300 or 400 of them in there.
Yeah, right. Solid dark. And my daughters never said anything about it. You know, when they go in and get, they were young. They were, 3 and 4 and 5 or something like that. And so they're going in the closet getting their shoes and their dresses for school or whatever. and there was the poinsettia right there in the closet. And they never said anything.
Maybe
to
they
me.
Were just used to dad.
Yeah, I guess.
Plants.
Yeah, there's plants in the closet. Yeah, the old man's flipping out again.
Yeah. Just don't touch it.
Yeah, don't touch it. He'll get mad at us because it's brown and crispy. Yeah, but they were. It was. I mean, brown. I mean, there was no red. There was no green. There was nothing.
It was a goner.
And there was some leaves that had dropped off already, but the rest up more kind of crunched up, they'd been in a heat storm for a week and a half.
Oh, no.
And then I remembered when I saw it, I put those in there. I put that plant in there 3 months ago. So you can't forget where you put them. You gotta be cognizant of the fact that, oh yeah, I put them in the pantry, or I put them in the closet, or I put them in that spare bedroom that we have that nobody is in, so there's no light in there.
Light in there, yeah.
That's just a little bit of advice for y'all.
Well, I can see that happening, though. As I get older, I forget.
Yeah, I was surprised I knew where the closet was, for crying out loud. No, that was back when I was 25 or 26.
Yeah, you still had your memory.
I still had my mind in place, yes. Oh, golly. Then there's a plant called the money tree.
Oh, give me one of those.
All the leaves are $10 bills when they come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really.
You got me up.
I'm lying. But the money tree represents good luck. And so it's often given as a gift on birthdays or graduations, or if you got a new home and somebody brings you a plant for your home. Yeah, it's one of the popular ones that people bring. And the money tree is a good plant for folks who water too much.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it likes to be wet, not swampy, not with standing water in the pot. But it likes to be wet. You could squirt the leaves every day with a little, what do you call them? A little squirt bottle.
Yeah, the spray bottle.
The spray bottle. I knew there was a word. And if you want to do that, just to keep it refreshed. But every once in a while, you might have to give it a little water in the pot, too. And
make sure it's not bleach.
Yes. Yeah, make sure you get the right bottle. But the roots need to be drier with good draining soil. That's how it grows. It grows naturally in South America. And it's not a full sun plant, but in direct light, it's best. In other words, through a window, probably, that has direct light for an hour or two during the day. That doesn't hurt it at all. You wouldn't want to put it in a huge picture window on the west face of your house where the sun shined in from 3 to 8 o'clock every evening and something.
Okay.
That would be detrimental to its life.
It wants to go to sleep at night.
Yeah, it wants to rest. Everybody has to rest, even plants. But one of my favorites is the jade plant. I love jade plants. They're tough little plants, and they survive in spite of us, not because of us. And the leaves are like pudgy oval leaves, about as big as a nickel. Maybe some of them are big as a quarter. And they're kind of
rubbery?
Kind of rubbery, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Some people have called them a rubber plant from time to time.
Oh, have they? Okay.
Yeah, because they look it. And
they don't look real.
No, they don't. But they're tough. They are real, but they're
like
tough.
Like a cactus.
Yeah. And the leaves are like a shiny, deep green, and you can prune them into like a miniature indoor tree, and they respond really well. I mean, they do really, really well.
Nice.
I've had several over the years that I've made bonsai out of them. And the trunks are not smooth and symmetrical. They're kind of bumpy and twisty.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And they're not this, picture book tree that everybody thinks it should be. It's kind of an old looking thing.
Decrepit looking.
Yeah, well, not decrepit, but just old.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Gnarly.
Yeah, that's the word.
That's the word. But pruning is beneficial to a jade plant. And you don't want it to become too top-heavy, because then they have a tendency to fall over.
Oh, no.
Because there's a lot of...
break.
Well, they'll break if they fall over and hit the floor.
That's what I meant, yeah.
But they won't die. You just prune them, and they recoup real well.
Oh, okay.
But see, those leaves are... There's a little bit of... It's not like a maple leaf or an oak leaf or something like that. These leaves are heavy. In comparison, they're small, but they're heavy because they're full of moisture. Mm. And so when they get, 6 inches taller than the rest of the plant in 1 or 2 years, even opening a door and creating a little breeze or something could tip them over.
Yeah.
But they're really a good tough plant. And sometimes they bloom a little white flower, and not very many and not a lot of them. But they're not long lasting as far the flowers aren't.
Oh, the flowers.
Yeah. The jade plant. I think that's from, the dinosaur times or something. I mean, that's what it looks like, for crying out loud.
It does. It really does.
But if you kill a jade plant, You got a bad green thumb.
Knock on wood, I haven't. I haven't had many, but I haven't killed one, I don't think.
But of course, good drainage is the best.
Key.
It's the key. But it does prefer to dry out a little bit between waterings. In other words, just because you watered it, let's say on Saturday, and the next Saturday rolls around and the top is dry, feel down in there, and if you feel any moisture, ignore it. And wait another week before you give it, give it sufficient water, and that's what it likes. Excuse me. That's it, and they're slow, very slow.
Yeah, they are.
But like I say, they look prehistoric, and especially if you prune them to where you know, and those gnarly branches are kind of going out to the side a little bit, and the trunk's getting more diameter. Growth to it, and it's cool. It's a good plant. I don't think anybody could kill. I'm not gonna, I guess maybe I better watch what I say.
You might get in trouble.
Yeah, kill a jade plant, but maybe you can. Now, if you repot it, say, every 3 years or so, 2 to 3 years, you know.
Oh, okay.
If it's in a real teeny pot and it's a small one when you buy it, you might have to pot it within a year. But once you get it in a fairly good-sized pot, it's good for at least 2 to 3 years, maybe longer, depending on the size of the pot. I saw a picture of this, a very old one that was well taken care of, was 6 feet tall.
Good heavens.
Yeah, and that would be old. Old for a
year. Yes, they slow only grow, as it grows.
Yeah, they grow an inch a year, maybe. An inch and a half. Fast growth, something like that.
That's as old as I am.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Well, it's time for a break. How about
that? Okay, we'll be back with some more indoor stuff.
Absolutely. Phone number, Mr. Michael.
673-4464. I almost forgot it.
You might have to forget it after next week.
Oh, I'll just keep calling, asking questions.
Harassing us.
Voice.
Yeah. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And a good afternoon, 4:38, and we're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
And if you have a question, 673-4464 is the number to call, and we can have a conversation. So, I'm talking about indoor plants for the most part on this program. Because it's winter time, and it doesn't feel like winter with the sun shining and it's 60 degrees.
Close to.
Yeah. But who knows? We might even get 30 degrees here next year.
And snow.
And snow, yeah, right. Okay, I'll believe it when I see it. Anyway, if you want something wild-looking, try a staghorn fern.
What the heck is that?
I knew you'd ask that question. Well, it grows wild in Africa, Australia, and Polynesia, and Southeast Asia.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, we got rhododendrons and stuff to grow up in the North Umpqua and stuff. Well, it just does that.
Let's throw in China, too.
No, I don't. Maybe Polynesia. But the staghorns, they cling to the trunks of rainforest trees, so they're in the rainforest.
Okay.
And they root into the tree, and they grow out of the tree.
Out of the tree.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know how they get there in the first place, but the roots penetrate the bark, get into the tree, and use the nutrition from the tree to grow.
Eventually, it kills the tree, doesn't it?
No, the staghorn. Well, if it's a tiny, tiny tree, I guess it would be. But you know, this is an old-growth tropical forest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the little guys—they don't have much. But there are. Let's see. The leaves grow very large, and they begin to look like antlers off like an elk or a moose.
You know, I think
leaves,
I may have seen
and
those.
They're long, and they got big serrations, and they look like you'll see them in, you know, the over there, that place. I can't even think of the name.
Young's Garden or something.
Well, I don't know if they might have them too, but and we had a few at our nursery when we owned it, but that shopping center by the airport. What's it called? Home Depot. Gosh, I couldn't.
There's Homes and Lowe's and
Lowe's and all those. They usually have one or two of those in there, and you know they're kind of freaky looking. You go, what in the world is that? But they're a tough plant, and you know they look cool. But the plant needs space to grow and can get several feet wide. In other words, these big long
antlers
they'll grow a foot and a half on either side of the pot depending on the size of the pot, and so you can't just shoehorn them in with the other stuff you got on your windowsill or something like that.
That ain't gonna work.
So when you first get them maybe, but when they get big and they get growing, boy, you got to give them that space. And there are 18 species of staghorn ferns. I never knew that. I'm doing the research and go, 18 species, and they're all a little bit different in some way.
Small, medium, and large?
Well, no, probably that, but I didn't want to bother and do the time to do the research on that. So, they're just good. They're different, and they're cool, and they're tough. And that's what people need to, if you're a real avid gardener and you've been doing this, all your life and you got indoor, outdoor and all the whole nine yards, you can buy whatever you want. You're going to make it live. But the new person, say, with the new home that wants to decorate it with a few plants or something like that, you want to start out slow. With easy stuff like a jade plant and get used to that. And then graduate slowly up the plant chain until, hey, what's that? That's a staghorn fern, man.
But, got your confidence.
And it doesn't look like a fern at all. If you didn't know what it's supposed to look like and somebody showed it to you, you go, that's not a fern. Ferns are fuzzy and they're light. And no, this got stiff branching and it's got, holes in the leaves.
Right.
But they're kind of cool. And we've all heard about...
So they can grow around here then, or no?
Indoor.
Oh, indoor. Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did I neglect to say
that? You probably said that, but I...
15 times?
Flew over my head.
And I told you they grow in Africa, Australia, and Polynesia, and Southeast Asia. So.
And I threw in China.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They might not like it there.
Who does?
I don't know. I've never been. But we've all heard about the Venus flytrap.
Yeah.
You ever seen one?
Oh. I don't know. I've seen them in movies and things.
Well, they eat people, in movies, but they in real life they thrive on bugs.
Yeah.
And small animals, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Squirrels, things like
that. Well, I don't know if it's a squirrel, but a mouse.
Oh, good.
Something
eat
like
all
that.
Those you want.
And actually, their main diet is like crawling insects, like spiders, beetles, ants, that kind of thing. And their leaves are very sensitive, and they have these tiny little hairs on the surface of the leaves. And if they feel a bug crawling on the leaves, their leaves fold in the middle and trap the bug. And you go, whoa, man, they got that bug, man. They got that bug.
And there's no escaping.
Yeah, there is no escaping. And so that insects, you crawl on a leaf, and he touches the hairs on the leaf, and the leaves, like I said, just fall. I mean, they just close. Mm-hmm. They just very quickly. It's not a slow motion deal.
No.
They just boom. They close up.
Yeah, you don't want to tickle that plant.
they snap shut, and they trap their dinner for the night. Because that's how they're fertilized. The bug tries to escape, but the struggle triggers the release of enzymes in the plant that liquefy and digest the bug. So if there were any giant ones around and you fell into it,
oh Lord,
and then the leaves collapsed on you, then there's these giant enzymes would come out and dissolve you, and you would be food for the plant.
That's never happened, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it happened to Winchester Dam one day. I watched it.
No. To a Chinook salmon.
I don't think it has happened. They're a plant, man. And this ain't a sci-fi
movie.
You know, plant show. So what you don't
Winchester
want
Day.
So what you don't want to do, you don't want to play with Mr. Venus flytrap.
No.
You know, just to watch the leaves snap shut, you know, you run your finger down it and the leaves go bonk. But it's getting to be scarce because of development.
Oh.
Yeah, right. They're doing whatever in the native countries where they come from. And so they're bulldozing this and bulldozing that, and so they're becoming something
they're
scarce. They'll probably be on the endangered species list or in no time at all.
Well, yeah, they're probably outlawed in the U.S.
Could be. Depends on what country you're in.
Yeah. I was wondering if you can grow them indoors.
Yeah, you can. That's where they like it, in the summer outside. But water is important in that tap water will kill them. Yeah, you know, stuff that comes right out of your sink.
Oh, the chemicals or
something,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to use rainwater or distilled water to water these critters.
Not vinegar.
No, I don't think vinegar would be copacetic to their digestive capacities.
It would sure clean them out.
Yeah. Poor. And they need at least 6 hours of direct sunlight or some kind of artificial lighting, like if you got a plant light. You know, because mm-hmm. they make different bulbs for plants and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's they're a crazy plant. I mean,
they're ugly, actually.
Well, they are. You know, I was looking at some color photos of them, and I thought, who would want a plant like that in their house for crying out loud? You know, unless they had a kid they wanted to get rid of or something like that.
But a cat.
Yeah. Throw your cat on that plant and we'll see what happens here. Oh, gosh. Now, if you would like an indoor tree, you can get an indoor tree, a ficus tree. It's a fig.
I've heard of those. Oh, okay.
Yeah, ficus fig. Yeah. And that's the plant to get. And in our area, they're indoor in the winter and outdoor in the summer. So if you got them in a pot that you can actually pick up, mm-hmm. and you keep it in a sunny picture window from, say, October to April or something like that, or even longer and shorter. Mm-hmm. As soon as it really gets to be spring and you have no freezing temperatures, you can put it outside on your patio or on your front porch or, you know, wherever. And they grow really, really well. When I owned Wintergreen, I grew a lot of them. We had some that were, oh gosh, 6-7 feet tall that we got when they were small, and just grew, and they would take care of them. They grow fast. You know, they're relatively a slow plant.
I never even gave it a second thought of growing one here. I just thought they were always India or somewhere.
Well, yeah, they are. They grow wild there. But, you know, they make a great indoor tree. Like if you got an A-frame roof and it's all glass or something like that. You know, something to soften the look. You could put a fig tree in there. And you know, they don't need anything, for crying out loud. Occasional water, occasional fertilizer. I mean, they always look good. They're evergreen. They don't drop their leaves or anything like that. And they're no fuss, no mess, no
cleanup.
Well, very little. You know, if the cat climbs it, you got a cat that climbs up the tree, some leaves might come down on the floor. But other than that, they're cool. Hmm.
How about the Venus flytrap? Is there cleanup?
Yeah, right. It'd clean up your cat in a hot minute. You say, well, how did that plant grow so big?
Meow.
Oh, there's cat hair on it. Where did Rover go?
Oh, no.
Rover's missing. Oh, here's his collar. It's in the Venus flytrap. Oh,
we're going to get calls on that one.
I hope so. Okay, but like I say, put them outdoors in the summer if you can move them. And, you know, they're just good. They're just kind of a neat thing. And in some places they're invasive plants, like in Florida and Hawaii.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you put one in those kinds of those types of climates where it's kind of swampy and wet and stuff. They take off and they just grow like gangbusters all over the place. They take over the place. If you got a field, got an acre, and you say, well, nice, you know, nice weather, et cetera. We're in Hawaii, we're in, you know,
right, yeah.
Florida. So, yeah. You stick one out there, and next thing you know, you got forest of fig trees.
Bingo, bingo.
Artificial fig trees. You got a break?
We do.
Okay, we'll be back.
One more time, the phone number.
Uno más, 673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, here we are in the final few minutes.
We're in the final stretch here.
Not of the final show, that's next week.
No, the final show is next week.
Next
week. But, okay, some, like I was talking about these indoor figs, some grow upright and some are actually weeping. And the oldest one on record lives in India at a temple and is more than 2,200 years old.
Good heavens, mama.
According to the literature that I was reading.
Yeah.
And they were 2,200 years old. How do they know?
Oh, that's true. They have to cut it down and find the rings.
Or do an increment bore or something. I'm not
sure. Oh, yeah, okay.
But they write their history, and they got a lot of history, and so they probably keep note of it.
Note
I don't know how
it.
They did it.
Yep.
But so in parts of, you know, they do really, really well, and they grow wild in remote and mountainous parts of India.
Mm.
They're just like a timber tree in those places. But they do well, like I said, as indoor plants in Douglas County.
Nice.
And you know, at the nursery, we had dozens of small ones that were like 2 feet tall. And you know, we'd do cuttings, and they'd root right out and all that kind of stuff. And they were outside and on the porch in the wintertime. So they didn't, even if it was snowy, they didn't get damaged.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had the overhang from the porch and the heat of the building and all that kind of stuff. So if it was 30 out there, it was maybe, you know, 35 or 40 on the porch maybe. But, you know, I wouldn't put them out there and keep them out there in the winter just to test them. You know, about the 1st of October, you think, you know, how's the weather?
Yeah.
What's the weather forecast? And
well, 25.
Yeah, 25, you better bring them in because they're not gonna do it.
Uh-oh.
So, now, if you like large-leafed indoor plants, try a philodendron. I'm talking about leaves up to 15 inches long
My
and
heavens.
6 inches wide. I mean, you walk in some businesses, and they're big, and they got holes in the center, and they got jagged edges. They're not a nice round leaf or anything like that. They're more of an exotic-looking thing.
And a unique design.
Very unique, yeah. And they need a lot of space to grow to their full capacity. In the wild, they can get 15 feet tall, like in Asia and in the jungle environments and things like that. And they like slightly moist soil and a little liquid plant food, you know, a few times a year, but they don't need much. Mm. But in the winter, on dark days, but don't do it when it's wintertime and dark days and cloudy days. And they won't respond well.
They don't like it.
Nah, they don't like it. But last but not least are tropical dwarf fruit trees.
Florida.
Yeah, and in Douglas County. We had a lot of them. And the most popular being the dwarf Meyer lemon tree. And it produces flowers that are just super fragrant and fruits year-round. Lemons year-round. I mean, it takes
That'll
a while for them. But the flowers, like I said, are just super, super, super fragrant. And they like sun and they like warmth. And so they're indoors through the winter. And it likes a lot of light and will be right at home on your deck in the summer. And it'll also get pollinated by many bees. And the more bees that pollinate, the more fruit you get.
Mm. So it's not, yeah, okay.
Yeah. If you put it out on the deck or the front porch or something like that.
So the bees can.
Yeah, you don't want to invite the bees into the living room. It's a bummer.
No, thank you.
And that's going to provide you lots of lemons. And I've eaten these lemons. They're good. We grew them there at the nursery. And sometimes you have to thin the fruit because there's too many lemons on one branch. And so the branch is hanging down because there's lemons on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The branch is about as big around as a little bit bigger than a pencil or something like that.
Not very sturdy.
And you got six lemons hanging on it. You know, imagine that.
I bet they're healthy for you.
Oh, they are. They are. They're really good. And you just got to maybe thin the lemons and relieve some of the weight on that one branch. And you don't want to have it broke. But for beauty and fragrance, they can't be beat. Now, I met a guy out there in Winston a few years ago. He called me. He wanted me to look at his lawn for some reason. And he lived right next to the Umpqua River. And he said, hey, I want to show you something after I was talking to him. And we went over, and he built this portable greenhouse. Probably not as big as his room, maybe 8 feet in diameter, and had a door on it, and it was all just plastic and stuff like that, and he had some electricity in there for heat to light, but he had a lemon in there. He says, I bought this lemon tree from you for 10 years ago. I says, you're kidding. This thing was 8 feet tall, had a diameter of about 5 inches. He had it in the ground. He planted it in the ground, and then he built this greenhouse, portable greenhouse around it. And I said, how many lemons you get off there? He said, a wheelbarrow full.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and they're regular-sized lemons like you buy in a store, you know?
Yeah, not the little cherry type.
No. They're regular size. And he said, about a wheelbarrow or so. And it was probably... It looked like he's going to need a new greenhouse pretty soon because the branches had spread a good 7.5 feet. They were almost touching the sides of the greenhouse that he built.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Wow. Could you prune it?
Oh, you can, yeah. You can prune it. They work really well. But it was just a beautiful tree. And he says, in the spring when the flowers here, you can't hardly get in here and breathe. Because it's so fragrant.
Yeah.
And if you leave the door open for more than 4 seconds, 8,400 bees come in there and start pollinating.
Get out of here.
But he's got some little false windows that he can open and let wind and fresh air in. I mean, it's in the summers.
Well, he's got quite the setup.
Oh, it was. It was really cool. And he did a great job. It was a beautiful tree.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you ever check up on him and see if he's still got?
No, I'm going to do it one of these days. Now that I got some time.
Yeah, you got some time.
I can go around and visit my clients.
Join us next Wednesday for the grand finale.
Yeah, the grand finale, and it's what, 20 years or something like that.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
All righty.
Thank you for listening.
The Afternoon Report is next on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.